Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, what do you say we get started?
So you want me to tell you the story of my life? I'll tell you my story. I'll tell you all of it. I'm flesh and blood, but not human. I haven't been human for 200 years.
From the novel by Anne Rice. From Neil Jordan, the director of The Crying Game.
I've come to answer your prayers. Life has no meaning anymore, does it?
His name is Lestat.
But what if I could give it back to you? Pluck out the pain and give you another life. One you could never imagine.
Hey there, and welcome to Rewatchability. We're the podcast where we rewatch old movies and TV shows to see how they hold up over time. We're part of the Entertainment One podcast network. My name is Blaine Waters. With me, as always, is...
Laurent the Vampire.
Huh? Was that supposed to be scarier?
It was pretty cute.
It was give me something.
All right, that was a little scary. And one of our favorite guests, obviously. We always get compliments when you come on the show.
But I'd like to hear some of them right now.
Okay, let's go to Twitter. But Johnny Walker is joining us.
It's true.
It's me. It's Johnny.
C'est moi, as they say in France.
Oh, or New Orleans. We are about to talk about the movie Interview with the Vampire.
Yes.
Not a vampire, like I searched Google.
Not just that
so
vampire.
Much. Yeah, it's just the vampire. Specific
Brad Pitt vampire. Is the vampire.
Yeah.
Is he ever? Wow.
But before we start, I want to say thank you to our Patreons. Those are people that have gone to patreon.com/rewatchability, and they've given us $1, $3, $5 a month to get the episode early and ad-free, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You get classic episodes at a certain point. And when we have the time, we do put out a special bonus episodes only for Patreons. So you can find those on patreon.com/rewatchability. Thank you, everyone. And now let's talk about Interview with the Vampire, starring Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Antonio Banderas. Basically, just like hot Hollywood men.
Yeah.
Like everyone
right.
in Hollywood.
Yeah, all the hunks of it. Christian Slater.
Yeah. Christian Slater's in there. Yeah. That's
Is
where it
a
ends.
Is he a hunk?
That's where.
Christian Slater's a hunk.
Okay.
A bit edgier.
Right.
A bit of an alternative hunk.
I was trying to think about his place in like the 80s, early 90s movie star echelon.
Yeah. He was like a teen hunk.
Pump up the volume.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assume that's why he's interviewing this vampire for his pirate radio show.
That's great. Rob, when did you first see Interview with the Vampire?
I saw it a long time ago. I don't remember. It might have been on the Movie Network or something like that.
We should say it came out in 1993, 94, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 94. And I, like, when I watched it, it seemed like very adult to me. It might have been 11 or 12.
It's a mature film.
Kristen Dunst's age.
Right. So you were scandalized by this movie.
Yeah, I think it's one of those movies that I like watched in bits and pieces when my parents weren't around.
Like it was pornography?
Well.
Like, they're coming in the room. Turn it off.
But I watched it eventually, and I remember really enjoying it. And I also, you know, when I was a little bit older in high school, I read all of the Anne Rice books.
Wait, whoa. There's like six of them?
Not all of them.
Okay.
I read a couple, maybe three of the Anne Rice books.
She's still cranking those out now, right?
Well, she went back to them because for a while she got with Jesus. She wrote about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I assume in the same, you know.
But like,
he's a vampire,
vampire
right?
still? Like,
No, I think he's just the son of God, the way and the light.
Yeah, you know, drink his blood, though.
It's... Yeah, but you buried him and then he came back.
There are like, vampiric qualities to Jesus Christ. He could be the original vampire, but I think she just went straight, like, kooky Christian writer thing. Because I know that there was a period of time where her vampire fans, because this is one of the first big vampire series in literature before the True Bloods, before the Twilights.
Uh-huh.
And so she had a fan base, and I remember that they were less than impressed with her subject matter.
Yeah, but she went back to Lestat eventually, right?
Eventually she did.
Yeah, and she lost the rights of all, like, to the movies for a long time, and now she has them all again, to all her books again. So she's trying to make a TV series out of all of them, which could be kind of fun.
I mean, it could be interesting. It's quite the... It's quite the saga.
People have made TV series out of much less.
It's true. It's true. What about you, Johnny? When did you first see this movie?
So definitely not when it came out, because I was in elementary school, and I feel like this was a bit beyond me.
Right.
But I really remember it being a part of the culture, for sure. And specifically, I remember that when I was in grade 5, I was in like a 5-6 split class.
Oh, right.
And there was like...
Were you a 5 or you were 6?
When I was a 5... There was a boy in grade 6 who was like super into Anne Rice and read all of her books in class and would do speeches from this movie.
Did he have like frilly cuffs?
Actually, I think he wore the same Nirvana t-shirt every day. It was the 90s.
Oh, my God. That's great.
But he would do, like, Tom Cruise's little, like, piano, like, I crawled out of the swamp speech. Or, like, his, like, I'm going to give you the... Like, I knew all of these Lestat lines well before I'd seen the movie. And when I first watched it was when I was in, I think... maybe grade 9, and it was the sort of awkward age where for Halloween, you're like kind of too old to go trick-or-treating, but kind of too young for like fun adult Halloween. Mm-hmm. So I remember for a couple of years, I would just go and like rent some sort of Halloween-ish type films and watch them by myself in my basement. That was
That's cool, right?
You know what? I had a good time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Microwave popcorn. I watched like Alien followed by Interview with the Vampire.
You put on that spooky like soundtrack. Like the
At the same time.
At the same time to watch it, like the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, just wearing a mask by myself. It was a lovely youth that I had. But I watched that movie then and I sort of thought it would be a bit more of a horror film.
Yeah.
And less of like a kind of like sleepy drama.
It has Interview in the title.
I guess, yeah, that should have been the hit.
It's not Kick a Bunch of Ass with a Vampire or,
I'd see that.
Be scared of vampires. I don't know why I thought action movie.
You should never name movies.
But yeah, I saw it for the first time as a young teen, sort of several years after it had been out. But I think it was one of those ones where you always that VHS cover is kind of burned into my mind from being on the video store shelves.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Blaine?
I actually have a story for this one because I watched it with my friends. And
was it a sleepover?
No. I think we were a little bit too old before. It was. It was a sleepover. And
then did you decide you wanted to be a vampire when you grew up?
How dare you listen to the podcast and throw it back in my face, Johnny? How dare you? Yeah, I was watching it with my friend, and his dad was a little bit more conservative than I think we all were. And so we were down in the basement watching it, lights off. His dad came down and like was watching the movie with us for a little bit, but we didn't really know how drunk his dad was at this point. So he was watching the movie, and then the scene where he bites the woman's breast.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. And his dad just went, oh, okay, looks like we're losing reception. It was a VHS. He goes to the back of the TV and just pulls everything out of the wall.
Smooth dad.
And then he like stands up again and drunkenly is like, oh, I tried to fix it for you guys. Guess you're going to have to do something else. All right, look into it later. good night. And he walks up the stairs and we plugged it back in and just continued watching him.
Sure.
But I felt so bad for him because he was so awkward and being like, I am, you know, I'm the adult. I'm supposed to, you know, guide these boys through life and they're seeing this weirdness on TV and I need to stop it. Anyway. Parenting is tough. Parenting is tough. But we watched all of it and we loved it, I think, at the time. Although rewatching it, I have some detractions from it now. So, Rob, do you want to run down the plot of this kind of Gone with the Wind style vampire movie?
Well, Lordy, I do. I don't know nothing about birthing no vampires.
Oh, okay.
I just want to see this go on for much longer.
That's all I can do.
Okay. Contractually allowed to do.
Well, it starts with Christian Slater. He is interviewing a vampire. Thank you very much.
And done.
Yeah. But this isn't just any vampire. This is Ponytail Brad Pitt vampire.
Yeah, and his vampire name is Louis. Why does he have like the most Brooklyn name?
Well, with an S. It's French. Jeez.
Hey, Louis. You biting any people? Louis, come around here more often. Grab a slice. Anyway, sorry.
He tells his story of being a vampire. Goes all the way back to 1791 New Orleans. He is a guy who lives there. He has a big old plantation, but he is sad, not because he owns slaves.
Yeah, and he owns a lot of slaves, to be clear.
Yeah. And that's not why he's sad. He's sad because his wife and his child, they died. His wife died in childbirth, and his life has become not worth living. And in fact, he has resorted to basically trying to get himself killed. Mm. He's
But like in cool ways.
Yeah, that's
in,
right.
In like the sexiest ways possible. Yeah.
In ways where his shirt gets ripped open.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, he's like going to prostitutes because like a pimp might kill him. That's bad for business, I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, if you want repeat business, don't kill your clients. And then he also like, you know,
cheats
at cards. Yeah.
It's no good. Yeah. But it's not so easy to get killed in 1791, apparently. But
when you're like white and gorgeous and extremely rich.
But it just so happens that he has caught the eye of a certain somebody, Tom Cruise, Lestat, who is a vampire.
Young Liberace.
For sure.
And he bites his neck and says, hey, you want to die or do you want to live? Mm-hmm. And he says, I'll give you the choice that I never had. You can become like me or, you know, you have what you wanted. And he decides, all right, let's do this.
And they make love right then and there.
Pretty much.
No, they don't. I mean, in the original novel, Anne Rice had a lot more, like, homosexuality overtones going on. And like,
Were there not overtones in this movie?
Yeah, there's definitely overtones. We're just missing the clear tones, you know?
But in the book, like,
I mean, they're wrestling around on the ground as Tom Cruise tenderly, you know, kisses Brad Pitt's neck. Come on.
It's...
I know. It's
a way gayer film than I had recalled.
Yes.
Me too.
Way. Yeah.
I mean, literally, like the opening sequence, we've got like Brad Pitt and Christian Slater cruise each other in an alley in San Francisco and then go back to a hotel room together. Like, that's how the movie starts.
Yeah.
And then we all know what happens next. They conduct a lengthy interview. Like, right? So that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's what sex is, right?
They're in bed smoking a cigarette. So you're a vampire? Yeah. 1791.
1791. Yeah, it's so funny because in the book, Lestat is like, hey, in order to like be the family that we're going to be, because in a little bit.
Oh, we've all heard this line.
Little girl. We're going to need to like fucking do it. So like if you want to be a vampire, we're going to have sex.
Right.
And so they took that out of the movie, the producers, because they were like, we don't want, you know, a gay movie.
Yeah.
But then...
gay movie.
I'm like, what's like...
Yeah.
They're like... giving each other hickeys on their neck. They're having in a family with an adoptive kid.
I mean, this
like,
movie,
it's
yeah.
so
the eye contact and all the face rubbing.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
it's really intense.
Do they drink because it's fluid? Yeah, they do.
It's like, are you so like depressed about like your boring hetero lifestyle that you're trying to get killed? Like, don't worry. Like, come be like eternally gay. And that's the choice I never had.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. So well, funny. I remember reading the books that, I mean, when I was a young teenager growing up in a Mormon household, I was very surprised about the frank homosexuality in the books. And yeah, I was, you know, thinking back to the movie, I was like, oh, yeah, there's probably like shades of it. But I thought it was going to be like, we talked about Lost Boys 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And there's like a little bit of like they dance. But yeah. This is like, you know, it's yeah. basically like a metaphor for two men in a relationship, vampirism.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And during like the time period, like they only went out at night, like they had to keep it secret. Like,
yeah.
People were finding out about them and might hurt them. Like that was like, it's totally about that.
Mm-hmm. But yes, but they have some problems in their relationship. Not bedroom problems, but Brad Pitt, though he has agreed to become a vampire, he doesn't like the killing, which is an essential part of being a vampire because vampires, if you remember, drink blood and you gotta kill a bunch of people. So, you know, Tom Cruise, Lestat, he loves killing people. This is Tom Cruise. This is where he really gets to shine. And I was thinking about this because I remembered, like, we talked about American Psycho not too long ago. It's like, Christian Bale based his performance on Tom Cruise.
Right.
And Tom Cruise, he thinks of himself as like a hero. So he never takes these roles where he actually gets to be the kind of person that we kind of think Tom Cruise is.
Right.
A vampire.
What's that one?
It's a coffin.
Oh. Well, so it is. You must be dead.
I'm not dead, am I?
No. No, you're not dead.
Not yet.
You finish this! You finish this now!
You finish it!
Save me from him! Save me! You let me go! I can't die like this! I need a priest!
My friend is a priest. He'll hear your sins before you die. Unless I make her one of us.
No! Take her, Louis! End her suffering! End yours!
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a direct line from his performance in this movie to him jumping on that couch with Oprah, right? Like, that is the yeah. Tom Cruise we get in this film.
It also feels like a little bit him inviting someone into Scientology. He's like, you can never leave again.
You've just got to jump on board with the killing people.
Yeah, and you can live forever because I'm going to drain you of your blood, thieves. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, but he's surviving off rats and other, you know, small animals.
Chickens.
Yeah, which is not a great way for a vampire to live. But
and old ladies' dogs.
Yeah, but old ladies' dogs. But he can't bring himself to even kill, like, the old lady, for example. Even somebody who's murdered a bunch of people
yeah.
and caused a bunch of bad things and been an evil person. He can't do it. But at one point, he's starving. He doesn't know what to do, so he stumbles into the plague-ridden district, and he goes to this house where he finds a little girl who is, you know, clutching her mom's, you know, legs.
Yeah.
Her mom has been dead for a long time.
Yeah, from the plague. She's all rotten and stuff. It's good makeup.
It's very gross. And he bites her.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And then that's how you get children. Right there. That's how it works, right?
Well, you're supposed to use protection.
Okay.
You have to get a neck guard.
But yeah, no, this is Kirsten Dunst in her first role ever. And
yeah, Spider-Man's girlfriend, if you're the New York Times or whoever it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was when somebody recently called her that. And she had to be
so
like,
awful.
Excuse me, I think that's a bit rude on Twitter.
Oh, God. Yeah, she's – and I don't – you guys – what about her performance? You guys like her performance in this movie?
She's great.
I think she kind of gives the performance of the film.
I think she kind of carries the film in a way.
Yeah. That second she – it feels to me like the movie really starts –
mm-hmm.
When she shows up, there's this real kind of episodic feel to the movie. I think it has a hard time with momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like you have the same scenes over and over again of like Do you want to be a vampire? Yes. Do you want to kill people? Well, no. And it's like, okay, you can't. You have to, you can't have both ways. You've got to do it. And it's just like over and over again. Yeah. And then finally, they bite that little girl. She comes back with this beautiful perm that, like, yeah. the vampirism is. I love yeah, that.
Shirley
she just,
Temple.
Kind of yeah, it's this sort of like Rita Hayworth meets Shirley Temple, like head bob. And then there's these gorgeous locks. And then she's this fabulous, evil little creature, and then we have a plot.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, she's the heart of the film.
She is the heart of the film, and she does, to go with the metaphor, kind of like pump the movie up, because we understand Tom Cruise's character way more through her. Like, we understand his, like, kind of kid-like throw caution to the wind, eat everything, because we understand that a bit through her, because she's a child. But mm-hmm. then we also understand, like, her loss of innocence. And Brad Pitt's loss of innocence through her loss of innocence. So, like, yeah. I feel like we understand both characters so much more once she hits the screen. And there's actually something for them both to fight over, both to do. Mm-hmm. It, yeah, it's great.
I really like Brad Pitt parenting Kirsten Dunst. It was yeah? like, it was heartwarming in it was, its way.
Yeah, it was kind of cute.
You know.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when you've got someone trapped in an abusive gay relationship and they're trying to leave, you surprise adopt a child so that they can't go anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's reproductive coercion. What's it called?
Coercion?
Coercion.
Reproductive
That's
coercion.
The word.
Vampire style.
Vampire style. Yeah, because Tom Cruise Lestat turns her against Brad Pitt's will or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And now they're a family, and they're going through, like, they're Americans again, and they go to, like, New Orleans, and...
Yeah, that's right. They have a good old time. Mm-hmm. And she loves the killing. Yeah. She is great at drinking blood and murdering people. She murders her piano teacher. She murders, like, 8 maids.
About basically anyone she encounters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's.
And they're like, tut, tut, not in the house.
Well, that's what I love about it, too, is like Tom Cruise keeps on coming in and being like, how are we going to find another dressmaker this quick? You know, like, we needed this person.
That part's pretty great,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Weirdly, she takes about 30 years before she asks, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
That's like a strange, like, 30 yeah. years pass, and so she's like, so what's the deal here? We're like vampires? Like, like,
I haven't – you guys notice that I haven't had puberty yet? Is mm-hmm. that something weird?
But like, I do find that scene where she's sort of like spying on that nude woman who she will eventually kill.
Yeah.
But it's really like – it's an interesting moment where she's just like, I want to like be a grown woman yeah. and not this little girl forever that's like –
she delivers that line so well when, like,
she
they're like, do you want
it.
To kill her? And she's like, I want to be her. Like, oh, you feel it so much. That's great little mm-hmm.
yeah. And it feels like a real sort of, to me, I mean, I don't know, like, the queerness of this movie is just, like, drenched in it. But that feels to me like such a specifically, like, kind of, like, queer longing moment of
right.
wanting to, like, be this, embody this sort of person and this sexuality mm-hmm. and this body that you don't have and, like, aren't allowed to have and, like, the sort of frustrating gap between who you believe yourself to be and want to be and, like, what society and what the world allows you to be.
Now that is pure cream. Trust Claudia to have found her. What? Don't you want her?
I want to be her. Can I, Louis? Be like her one day?
Won't you? More melancholy nonsense. I swear you grow more like Louis every day. Soon you'll be eating rats!
But she's really angry. She becomes very angry at first at Lestat for turning her and giving, you know, getting her stuck in her prepubescent form, and then also at Louis for killing her in the first place once he brings her back to the place where he got her and shows her. And so she decides that she's going to kill fucking Lestat. and she does so by tricking him into drinking dead blood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a very specific part of the vampire lore of this film, right?
Yeah. You can't drink dead blood.
Yeah.
You have to keep the heart alive.
Yeah. And so it fucks him up.
Yeah.
Like it would do. And then she, like, slices his neck, and then they go and throw him in a swamp.
It's a lot.
It's a bit much, but...
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, to get like... Tom Cruise out of your house, anything.
Still doesn't work. No.
No, but no. She's diabolical. Like, the scene where she, like, slits his throat, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm so scared of Kirsten Dunst in that moment. Like, she was so good. Yeah. And when Brad Pitt comes in and goes... What happened? Like, he's just so blown away this kid could do this.
Yeah, I think he actually says, oh my God, which is a strange thing for a vampire to say.
Yeah.
Even fooling him with those creepy, like, matching outfit twin boys who are secretly dead. It's like,
stole them
you
from
couldn't
the Shining?
Just kill one kid?
Yeah, exactly.
It had to be two.
Yeah, but then they're kind of rid of him and they go searching for vampires throughout the world.
Right? Well, they're about to leave and he comes back and they basically like have to burn down all of New Orleans as they leave. But yes, then they go to
Also, like, Brad Pitt, every time he leaves the house, he burns the fucking place down.
That's his motif.
Yeah. He, like, has a Molotov cocktail just for the occasion, like, in his moving boxes. It's so weird.
Yeah, same as his plantation house.
Yeah, exactly.
They couldn't stand listening to any more of Tom Cruise's little cabaret that he was performing
right,
there
on the
behind
piano.
Yeah.
And before, he couldn't let the slaves have the plantation house.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that just feels mean. He goes like, "I killed one of the slaves. Like, you can have her body. Go. You're free."
Oh, like a criminally underused Tandy Newton.
I know.
I was amazed to see her in this film because I didn't know that she was like a thing back then.
She's great.
I do remember like when I watched this in high school, and I already knew who she was. I think she'd probably like been in Mission Impossible 2, and she's in this like. She's in this movie, Flirting, this Australian movie with like a teenage Noah Wiley and Nicole Kidman that I really loved.
Right.
And I saw her in there and I was like, oh, okay, she's got to be like important. She was like, they had her name in the opening credits.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so she's like a slave on the plantation, but she's going to like become a vampire or she's going to like, maybe she's like, they're doing this voodoo thing. Like, is she going to be like a vampire hunter secretly? Then it's like she is just like... A maid who is like, I'm so worried about you, master, and then gets killed. And I was like, that really sucks. That sucks. She's probably the best actor in the movie, and it's a really unfortunate role.
Yeah, she's an amazing actor. Have you seen her like in Westworld?
Oh my God, she's everything.
That show. Yeah. Oh, she's so good.
I wish that like this movie was about her as some sort of like undercover vampire assassin. Lady in the Old. That says it's a
Anne
better
Rice.
Movie.
Call Anne Rice.
Get on it, Anne. So, yeah, then they do go searching and they find Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, that's right. The Theater de la Vampires.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Play.
Yeah.
And I love this part as a student of the theater, and I sure you both appreciate.
Oh, it's so fun. It's
the tableaus
great.
And.
Right.
Ah, so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we went to theater school too, yeah.
I don't really understand what anybody thought they were seeing in that theater. Like,
oh, just murders.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Do you remember like the German expressionist plays that we like? Well, I don't understand what anyone is seeing in those either.
Yeah, no, I guess I have, to be fair, seen weirder shows than the ones those vampires were putting on.
The biomechanics stuff? Anyway, it's weird stuff. But they were like killing people on stage. Drinking their blood, being vampires in front of everyone, like an exhibitionist kind of show.
I like how some of them are stagey and like use like bad practical theater effects.
Right.
Like this, like they have a bench on a turntable and like two actors switch out for dummies whose heads get cut off.
Right. Yeah.
But then they actually like kind of like cruelly and horrifically strip naked and murder and kill and drink the blood of this woman in front of this entire audience.
No pain. No pain. Monstrous.
And I guess they've been sort of like lulled by the silly part of the show.
Yeah.
That does, like, the first part of the show looks quite fun. And I was like, I would watch that show.
Yeah.
And then you get to that part, and I think the whole audience is sort of like, okay.
This part's not working.
But I had a theater teacher at one point be like, that's the difference between that's the fourth wall. Like, not even if you kill someone on stage will someone get up and stop a performance. And I thought that was kind of really interesting that we...
That lady got up to try to volunteer to be killed.
I know.
The performance.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, oh, do me. Like, is this improv? And everyone's like, no, sit down. But we do need a location.
Dracula's castle.
It was really weird. And they do murder that woman on stage.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
And they, they want Louis to join their vampire theater troupe, which, is fun and all. do a couple vampire fringe shows or whatever. But they're like, you got to lose the kid because she killed Lestat, and vampires aren't supposed to kill other vampires. So,
Or make child vampires.
That's also.
So there's like multiple taboos.
She's an abomination of some sort.
Yeah. To this particular theater troupe.
Yeah.
I mean, see them if someone says Macbeth. Like, oh.
They have to run around the theater.
You can't say that in a podcast studio.
this is like they're theater practitioners. They're like the lowest of the low in terms of society at this point. And they're like, oh, but you can't do.
They're looking for Antonio Banderas sexily says to Brad Pitt that they're looking for like a new person to bring in new blood and bring them into the 20th century. And he represents the future because
he's like an American or something.
He's American.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of emo, and they love they just love all of that.
He's just really into him. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. Realistically, yes.
And then he's got to get rid of the girl because he's child free. He doesn't.
It's
want
just
kid.
Like if any of these vampires could just like smash when they want to, like they could solve so many of their problems.
Vampire dicks don't work. That's the can't get enough blood down there.
Oh. That's too bad.
And they kidnap Kirsten Dunst and they
and her new surrogate mother.
Her new surrogate mom, who Brad Pitt has lost his humanity, turning into a vampire, the last bit of his humanity. Mm-hmm. And they seal him up in like a catacomb, supposedly for eternity. And then they put her in the two women in the well. And when sun comes up, it's,
toasty in there.
Toasty.
In my memory, I thought that the woman who sort of wants to become this mother vampire was like a way bigger character.
Yeah.
But she's so barely in the movie that I kind of actually wondered why she was there at all.
I don't even think she has a name.
Yeah.
No, and
it's Claudia and that other woman vampire.
Yeah.
Because then it seems like we're supposed to take the weight of both of their deaths equally, and it's like, this chick was in one other scene. Like, I don't know who she
is.
Yeah,
she feels like an artifact from like an earlier draft, or they were following the book too closely or something.
But I do like the emotional note of like the child trying to have a mother and trying to like create her own family. Like, mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. nice. And I love the part where they both burn to death. It's very, visually appealing.
I really like where they're about to get kidnapped and that like really like cackling insane ginger vampire theater lady comes in and I'm like, where has this lady been the whole movie?
Where are the women vampires?
Truth.
I mean, they're probably doing their own thing, leaving the fucking dude vampires to their bullshit.
That woman also like made such, maybe it's just as a ginger, I saw myself on screen briefly and I was, I remembered her being like a bigger sort of secondary villain. And I think like she gets one really good cackle and that's about
it. And then is like murdered.
I really wanted more of her. Yeah. You get much more.
Oh my God, his murder spree is amazing, though. With that side,
it is really
I'm like,
amazing.
Fuck
God,
yes,
yeah.
It was so good.
The he fire, goes, of course, because Brad Pitt.
Yeah, because his daughter was murdered, so he goes back and murders everyone of that theater troupe except for Antonio Banderas.
Well, Antonio Banderas saves him because he stumbles out after the massacre, and it's fucking daytime, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta like huddle against the building because the sun's coming out," and then Antonio Banderas swoops him up in his big old carriage.
Like Zorro.
Like Zorro. Yeah. But, you know, he doesn't want to stay with Antonio Banderas, and so he goes eventually back to America.
No, because he can't be happy with anyone. Like,
he's his own worst enemy.
Well, yeah. he's grieving right now and...
Forever.
Forever. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, he goes back to America, and this part's kind of nice. He sees the sunrise again through cinema.
Yeah. He watches, like, Superman.
Yeah.
That was kind of a fun, the vampire.
Nosferatu. Like, yeah. He's like, this is bullshit. This is offensive bullshit. There is not enough vampire representation in Hollywood, and this is how they show us on screen?
He's just, like, covering his ears with his pointy nails, being like, that's not how I look, right?
He changes his fashions with the times.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
They show him in a kind of, like, Miami Vice look in the
80s.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he still has that, like, ponytail in the 80s. The fashion comes back around for hairstyles, for sure.
Presumably, he also can't cut his hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because at one point, Claudia tries to cut her hair, and it just comes back like Homer Stubble.
So he does see Lestat one more time.
Yeah, well, that's right. He smells, like, death. And he goes, follows his nose to an old graveyard.
He's like the worst toucan Sam.
Just follow your nose.
It's like, I smell death. Yeah, it's a graveyard. Like, I don't know where else you'd go.
And he finds Lestat, who is sort of like half alive. He's very sick. And
he's just, I guess, been sitting there the whole time.
Well, he kicks aside like a whole bunch of rat corpses, which sort of brings it full circle because earlier in the film, Lestat was chiding him for eating rats. Mm. And now that's what he has to do to survive. And he goes there and he's alive, kind of, but he's just sitting there. And he asks them to join him. And, you know, together they can make it. But Brad Pitt's like, no.
You know, basically, like, he shows up to do, like, a little victory lap and be like, I just wanted you to know I'm still very hot. And I'm still emotionally unavailable. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like just a movie of Brad Pitt turning people down.
Pretty much.
This is like everyone's just like, hey, can we date?
So we all know how Jennifer Aniston feels.
Oh.
Snap.
Too soon.
It'll always be too soon. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he, you know, he, like, you can leave. You can not be a vampire. I'm not going to turn you into a vampire. To Christian Slater. Christian Slater gets in his car. He goes onto the bridge. And then... Lestat descends from the heavens.
Yeah.
And turns him into
looking
a vampire.
More full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah, yeah.
He's back.
Well, it's kind of like...
ate a few more people.
I feel like he, like, saw Brad Pitt and was like, oh, I gotta get that gym membership. Like, I got
Or maybe,
I gotta
like, Brad Pitt
again.
Kind of, like, made him sound grosser in his story than he actually was.
Yeah, right. That's also very true. It's all from his perspective.
Embellished, yeah.
And it's like, and he, narrator. Oh, he looked really gross, I promise.
Yeah.
And he ate so many rats. Like, he's probably fine.
He ate so many rats. Yeah, well, I mean... Looking at it through the lens of this movie being very homoerotic, but not really, like, you know, pulling the punch. I mean, I sort of viewed his, like, sickness as, like, an AIDS metaphor, well, like, as big
AIDS,
as the Hollywood sign.
Yeah, for the 80s and stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
That is
and, like,
all
the, like,
this movie.
Tainted blood sort of thing, mm-hmm. which I assume is what, you know, keeps him sick.
Right.
Yeah. I also think, like, all of the vampire characters, the way that they... They, like, paint over their veins. They all have, like, those visible blue veins on their faces, which feels to me like a bit of a Kaposi's Sarcoma visual reference.
Yeah.
Like, they're all, like, references to the plague. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of, like, kind of, like...
Definitely.
Like, AIDS paranoia woven into this.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for Gay Panic the movie.
Gay Vampire Panic.
Oh, sorry, man. Sorry. Should tell him. I'm sorry.
It's interesting. I feel like one of the most sort of like explicitly queer moments in the movie is when Louis is talking about Lestat's preferences when they're like going to a party. And he's like, oh, he likes to start off the night with like a young debutante. And then he likes to go after like a fresh-faced youth. And they show him like... bringing this, like, young man, like, with the, like, painted face and
wig.
Yeah, the foppish
dude.
Yeah, and I feel like that's it's a very, like, I don't know how to read that other than saying, like, this character is, like, pretty bisexual. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he's a character in an Oscar Wilde play or novel or something like that. He's very, like, coded queer, I think. Mm-hmm. He's, like... You know,
well, and that's what Anne Rice was writing. Like, that's the book she wrote that they just made it not made him not gay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, because Anne Rice doesn't, I don't think, admit to the homosexual nature of this.
But she said, like, in the book, Lestat's like, we have to have sex for us to be like.
Yeah, it's all in there.
Yeah,
but. Like, Anne Rice is, I mean, she writes a lot about Jesus. Like,
right.
I think that she's pretty queer positive, though. I feel like she's one of those sort of, like, don't see gender.
Yeah.
People or something.
Right.
I mean, I think she's just, like, I think she's, like, probably a straight lady who, like, jerks off thinking about, like, boy vampires kissing, right?
Well, I think that's like, definitely what this is. This is, like, lady porn, gay vampire lady
porn.
Yeah.
Explicitly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and she's touched on some of that, and I have some of that in the trivia coming
up
after this break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Before we get back and interview the vampire, I just want to tell you about what we have next week. Vampires, what comes next naturally? Werewolves. It's simple. So we're going to be talking about 1994's Wolf, starring Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer,
of course,
and James Spader.
I mean, you got so many people in this movie. There's like a little bit of Allison Janney in there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If you if you're a swimmer, you got some David in there.
Okay. Now you're spoiling. Come listen to next week's podcast specifically for when we talk about when David Schwimmer shows up. In Wolf.
Hey there, and welcome back to Rewatchability. We're discussing an interview with the vampire, with Johnny Walker. And I have some trivia questions for you guys right here.
Let's do it.
So, Anne Rice wrote the
False.
Book after it was already optioned in 1979. So they wanted to make a movie of it before she even finished the book. That's what I've read. So the first attached cast for Lestat was John Travolta to play the role.
Amazing.
But which actor did she have in mind when she was writing the book?
What's going on there?
That's crazy. So which actor did she have in mind when she was writing the book instead of John Travolta? He never played the part, but he did go on to play two other vampires in other movies. So which actor is that?
I know the answer to this. Do you know?
I don't think I do.
It's the recently passed Rutger Hauer.
You are correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, he'd be great.
Yeah.
He'd be great.
Yeah, and he was great in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he was in Salem's Lot as well playing a vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she hated that Tom Cruise was cast in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why she would have an opinion like that.
She said that it was like, what did she say? One of the worst crimes in the name of casting, which is a great sentence.
Wow.
She did not want to be in it.
She campaigned for them to switch, right?
She campaigned for them not to have John Travolta, Tom Cruise in the movie, then for them to switch, then for anything besides him playing that character. And then she disowned the movie and only saw it when they had finished it and sent her a VHS copy. And she saw it and then totally reversed her opinion and sent Tom Cruise an apology letter, apparently. I think
but it was too late, and now she's at C-Lab.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's like David Miscavige just like played her a visit. She's like, you should like Tom Cruise. I would like Tom Cruise. Oh, my God. Get out of my house. So, yeah. So that was weird. There was a whole bunch of like alternate casting for this movie, too. They had Johnny Depp attached for Lestat. They had Daniel Day-Lewis attached for the
right. Stage.
Oh,
that would have been something.
Yep.
any of that. I mean, he's so method, though. Like, so many people would die.
But what a performance.
Yeah. It would be worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
No, it would be interesting if there was, like, a good actor in that role. It changed the whole film.
Yeah, or like just an actor that could play that role. Like, I think Tom Cruise is good at Mission Impossible movies. I think he's fucking great at Mission Impossible. But like, I don't think he's good for that role. He just doesn't play it well. He said he modeled his character based off of watching animals attack. Like,
what?
Those like animal attacks.
He was
shows.
Just doing that anyway.
Yeah, like, I know. He was like, I am an apex predator. It's like, come on, Tom. So I don't know if we saw that really in the movie, him like attacking things like
literally
wounded gazelle. I don't know. It was very weird. Also, the other person, since they got Tom Cruise the role, the first person that Anne Rice went to talk to, please play this part. She begged this man to play the part, was Tom Hanks.
Why?
As Lestat. She had a sit-down coffee.
No, that's like even worse casting.
No, it's even worse casting.
Like significantly worse.
Yeah.
That would have been, yeah, he turned it down and he got Forrest Gump instead. He took that role because of course. Like, he would never be in a movie where he bites people and sucks their blood. I don't know. She did it because he was in Philadelphia and she saw that and was like, oh, like, you can like go to those like depths of character.
He's like willing to play gay.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're a straight actor that can play gay. You should do that in my movie.
My question is how they got Tom Cruise to be in this movie at all without him realizing what it was. You know? He's like, okay, so now Brad, you're gonna get on Tom, and this is about vampires, right?
Yeah, vampires. Vampires writhe around. Vampires. You know,
there's a lot of.
Well, and it's really tough because I think Brad Pitt actually brings a lot of like subtlety and subtext to his role,
yeah.
And he's just sort of like. He doesn't even do much or say much, but he's so watchable, and he has so much kind of like. Pain and inner conflict.
That's and then you good at.
And then it pans over to just this ridiculous clown. Like,
yeah.
Playing the piano. And it's just awful.
Well, Brad Pitt had a notoriously awful time on this movie. He, because it was all filmed that night. It was only in a studio. So he'd go from the darkness into a studio, leave when it was dark again, back to his hotel. He said that he got so depressed that he tried to buy his way out of the film and talked to his one of his friends, David Geffen, who said, oh, I got the figure for you to buy your way out of the film. It's $40 million you'd have to pay.
Right.
And he went, oh, that takes a lot of weight off. I just need to like – hunker down and do this. Like, there's no way out. Like, there's no thinking about getting out of this.
I mean, David Geffen could have let him out of the contract. It's his movie company.
I know. It's like, friend to friend, right? You're going to let me out of this $40 million, so we're not friends. Okay, good. Just happy to know that. Yeah, it's he did do a great job, but I think it's because the character was so mad at being there, and he was so mad at being there.
It's just real.
He didn't have to act.
I heard another like pretty delicious piece of like casting trivia.
Oh, yeah?
That at one point, because of the sort of the homoerotic,
This is my second.
This
trivia
is your
question.
Okay. I won't steal it from you.
I like
okay.
it. I, like,
I thought I thought you were done.
No,
I wasn't
no, please,
trying to
please
steal
go
it from
it.
You.
Please go for it.
Well, I guess either Anne Rice and or the studios thought that people wouldn't accept two male leads in this level of intimacy, and they had a draft of the screenplay where Louis was a female character. And that it could be just more of an on-the-nose love story. And the actor who they had attached for the role was obviously Cher.
Yes. It had to be Cher.
And she even like...
She was moonstruck. She was so good.
Witches of Eastwick. Like, she can get a little supernatural for you. Exactly.
Doesn't that make it gayer?
That's a great point. And she had already written the theme song.
Yeah, and then they had to take the theme song out of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe in life after love?
That song makes so much more sense now.
Vampires.
It's sad to me that we didn't get like a vampire love story between Cher and Tom Cruise, because that's like, sounds like an endlessly rewatchable film.
Oh my God.
Especially if it just was a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did musicals, right? He did like the Rock of Ages or something.
Oh, yeah, he did do Rock of Ages. He had the same length of hair in Rock of Ages.
Yeah, so he could do it.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. He could do it as much as he could do this movie.
It doesn't seem fair that like Brad Pitt's long hair in this movie is clearly like his own actual long 90s, like Brooke Shields-esque, gorgeous, so silky you just want to touch it. And then they've given Tom Cruise this like limp blonde look. Like it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like
making Tom Cruise blonde. Stuff. It's like it's mean.
Yeah.
It's like the least cute I think he's ever looked in a movie where like he should be like really sexy.
Yeah. Well, in the movie where they cast him because he was sexy. Like, that's the reason they cast him.
Yeah.
And then they take that away. Anyway. that's my, like, peeve with all these movies that, like, get these, like, hunks that go into – and then they're like, we're going to cover you in makeup. And it's like, right. The whole reason you wanted to be here – well, anyway.
Come on, Robert Pattinson.
So my third question here for the trivia is – which characters in the book and the movie were based on members of Anne Rice's family?
Oh, okay. Well, wasn't somebody was based on Anne Rice's husband, Stan Rice? I like their name because they're Anne Stan Rice.
That's all. Yeah, and you are totally correct, Lestat. So I don't know why she based like the craziest fucking chaotic character on her husband, but that is true. Yes, and there's one more.
Are they still
like
married?
I don't even believe that that's a real person.
Yeah,
like oh my name, I'm Stan Anne Rice. I have a husband. His name is Stan Rice, and he's exactly like this like sexy vampire I've been writing about for decades. Like Oh, he's in Alaska. Home. He's like...
It's fine.
You can't see him. He's sleeping. He's a vampire. Shut up.
Yeah, the other character is... This is a horrible story, actually. She's based... it was a good segue, right?
Excellent.
She based the character of Claudia off of her daughter.
Oh.
Because her daughter was Michelle... died at 5 years of age.
Oh.
And so she wrote this book shortly after that, and she made the character Michelle so she would always be young and like her daughter was to her because she died at that age. So she would always be that age. And she thought that was a big tragedy, and she wanted to like put that into this book and immortalize her daughter. Yeah.
And that kind of like brings, I feel like, another layer to that like surrogate mother character who the reason she wants to become a vampire is that her daughter had died.
Yeah,
and she's like, I want like a girl who will never die.
Yeah.
And the joke was on that lady because they both immediately died.
But I love that in the movie because she doesn't ever say like, I just want a daughter that will live forever. She just shows her locket with her daughter in it. And it's just so visual and so nice.
Yeah.
We get it right away. So yeah, that's my trivia question. There's a lot of other, for Claudia, other...
You just have general trivia about Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah. She's a mother... I don't know.
Who played Spider-Man's girl?
Oh. God damn you. No, she was almost played by...
Let's hear it.
Christina Ricci.
Oh.
Could have been good.
Yeah, she could have
done
really
it. No, it would have been great.
But a little bit on the nose, don't you think? You're like, who can we cast as a young vampire? Christina Ricci? Come on, give somebody else a chance.
Also, Evan Rachel Wood. So that would have also been a little in line with kind of like
her. She's vampire-y.
Yeah, she's a vampire. Julia Stiles.
Oh, God.
Was also almost cast in that role.
But she, you know, she's grown into a performer.
Isn't she great in something right now?
Like a TV show?
No, like a movie. Isn't she in Hustlers?
She's not in Hustlers.
Oh, okay. I think she still has a career.
Julia Stiles? She's so mean.
I don't know.
Fuck Styles.
I just feel like...
Like, what?
I just feel like we're from a generation where Julia Styles was just really shoved down our throats aggressively for many years. And,
Hey, Blaine, guess what? She's in Hustlers.
Oh.
She was so good you couldn't even tell it was her.
You got hustled.
I didn't get hustled. Oh, man.
Julia Styles.
Oh, man. Well, the wool's pulled over my eyes, Julia. I'm so sorry.
Blaine, where's your wallet?
She fleeced me, too. Whoa. All right. Ooh. So Natalie Portman was also tagged for that role.
Naturally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Thora Birch.
She could do it.
Sure. Yeah. That wasn't one. But
let's just continue casting this role right now.
ScarJo?
No.
Sure.
Just Anna Paquin. Oh. Anna Klumsky.
Anna Klumsky. Yeah.
Dad, why are we vampires?
He needs his coffin. All right. So another fucking weird, dark thing that came out of this movie was an attempted murder. A man named Dan Sterling stabbed his girlfriend 7 times in the chest and back and then drank the blood from her wounds after they saw this movie the night before. And his defense in court was that the movie fucked him up. And so caused him to go insane.
I don't think I really needed this piece of trivia.
She survived. She survived.
Oh.
She's all right.
Well, thank goodness.
She's a creature of the night.
But, he was locked up.
Yeah, that's horrible. That just seems like one of those, like, bad 80s lawyer things. Like, you know, we have no hope of getting our client off, so maybe we can blame the media, a movie. Is there a Judas Priest record you've heard? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well, I'm afraid legally Anne Rice has to go to jail for this.
She was the head vampire that started this, and
the
she must
stat
be
in
stopped.
Prison. The stat buffs up a bunch.
Right.
And then some other stuff happens with vampires.
And the last piece of trivia was that apparently Tom Cruise said that Brad Pitt had a little bit of a smell to him on set. So, and this has been – I couldn't find a corroboration of that from Tom Cruise's interviews themselves. But I did find a lot of other actors that have worked with Brad Pitt over the years – talking about how stinky Brad Pitt is. And it is so funny.
Wow.
I can't who was in Fury with him? One of the like not Emile Hirsch. Anyway, there was a young actor in Fury with Brad Pitt who said that Brad Pitt was hanging out in the tank and instead of going to his trailer to shower, he would bring out baby wipes from his back pocket and just like wipe himself down in front of everybody. And he was like, it's better than taking a full shower. Because
why are you ruining Brad Pitt like this? Like, what? Why are you doing this to me?
Funny. I find it so funny that like the most attractive man maybe ever is like just a little bit
stinky.
A little bit ripe.
He's got a stank.
I love it. I love that so much.
He's beautiful from a distance.
It's the pits.
Oh.
He's got.
I was really waiting for you to make that joke. I was like, when is this pun coming?
All right, let's say if we think this movie is rewatchable, Rob.
I kind of really enjoyed rewatching this movie.
Really?
Yeah, there was a lot of elements that I like. I like that it's a vampire story that is completely different than other vampire stories. Mm. And, you know, since the last time I watched it, I was like 10. There's obviously like a lot of emotional beats that I didn't get. And like it's a very fully fledged emotional story with like a lot of neck biting and fires and some scythe action.
The side action was the best part of the movie for me, yeah.
Yeah, so I found it very satisfying to rewatch. And I wish that there was more movies that were sort of like this. And there is, of course, we haven't talked about, and I'm kind of, you know, shaming you. We haven't talked about Queen of the Damned.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Aaliyah.
Aaliyah. And for some scenes, Aaliyah's twin brother filling in after she died.
Right, yeah, that's right.
That's insane, yeah.
it was bad, if I remember. But it was also like a huge deal. And I think to a lot of people, it was like a big movie.
Yeah, I read the plots of the other books, and that one apparently listed.
He becomes a rock star.
Yeah. He becomes a fucking rock star to attract, to like piss
Egyptian,
off.
The original Egyptian vampires. He has to like raise them from the dead or whatever.
Yeah, and it's also to kind of piss off the other vampires, just like, oh, I'm flaunting the fact that I'm a vampire in your face.
Does Aaliyah like
weird.
Do a number in it though?
I don't know.
Because that's what I want.
Yeah, that's what you
want
to see.
That's what we all want, right?
So none of us have seen that movie.
No.
I remember that, I think, Korn, the guy from Korn wrote all the music for it. So I don't think it's very good.
That's amazing.
And we also didn't talk about the sort of half-hearted Guns N' Roses cover of Sympathy for the Devil at the end of this movie.
Oh, God. Were they just kind of talking it through?
It's brutal.
I thought it was really cool when I was like 17.
Yeah.
I also think it's the last song that Guns N' Roses did before they, you know, basically like hung it up for like 20 years. They were like, that's it, guys.
You've seen what happens.
It definitely reminded me of that like Our Lady Peace cover of that Beatles song from the opening of The Craft. I was like, it's very that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We were sort of like, you really could have just used the actual song in this moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, David Geffen owned Guns N' Roses anyway, so, you know, just lock him in a studio.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awful. It was an awful way to end the movie. It's just really, yeah, last nail in the coffin. Johnny?
Oh, I think this one is kind of a half and half for me, especially, like, as a movie that, like, I didn't honestly love when I saw it when I was a teen. I found it like a bit sleepy then, and I find it a bit sleepy now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, the film is like really hampered by Tom Cruise's performance that I think like just lowers the tone of the whole thing. Where you've got like, I think Brad Pitt's performance is great. I think Antonio Banderas gives you Antonio Banderas in just the way that you want. And Kirsten Dunst like is good. It is one of those things where you're like, oh, this is like one of those child actor performances where you're like, wow,
yeah.
Like this person's a star, they're a great talent, and the movie kind of like comes to life when she enters it. I do feel like the whole thing has a bit of a feeling to me of like kind of an episodic novel that's been adapted for a film that never quite gets the narrative momentum where you're sort of like, and then 30 years passed, and then we went to France, and you're like, where is the plot? What is the actual narrative through line of this movie? I don't know.
And I think it was split between trying to have a plot and trying to like raise philosophical questions, mm-hmm. because the plot was like Tom Cruise just doing fucking anything to get the plot going, and then Brad Pitt was like, who am I now that I'm a vampire? And so if you went in either of those directions,
yeah,
it would have been a better movie, but it like landed somewhere in the middle.
And I mean, the whole the revenge sequence in the vampire theater is like fabulous action gore set piece.
Yeah.
And they do even the thing where when he's fighting Stephen Ray, I think, as the sort of the subordinate of Banderas.
Yeah, Santiago.
And when they first see each other, they kind of mirror, they have this sort of doubling moment,
yeah,
that then is sort of reflected back in their final battle where it's like that's sort of like an interesting visual choice. I wish that, but that whole thing doesn't really feel like what the rest of the movie is even about.
No.
And that's kind of a more exciting vampire movie that we didn't really get here. I like all the gay stuff because I'm like very gay. And I did feel watching it that I was like, because my big like vampire touchstone as a teen was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah,
of course.
And which obviously. I'm not even going to dignify that question with a response. And
there I. All right.
But it's, I think, you know, the show comes several years later. And I think watching it now, like, there is a lot of the DNA of that show in Interview with the Vampire.
For
and
sure.
Especially whenever they do any of the, like, flashback stuff with Spike and Angel and Darla and Drusilla, it's like, oh, it's kind of like a more fun version of Interview with the Vampire that they're doing. So I like it as a kind, I feel like it's like, it's a useful vampire reference for other more fun vampire works that have followed.
Right, like it was a necessary stepping stone, but it's not like something,
yeah,
that you revisit all the time.
Yeah, and so, it feels to me like somehow disrespectful to Tandy Newton to watch that movie.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm going to say it's not rewatchable. I didn't enjoy watching this movie so much. I found it boring on the one hand, and then it didn't go in any direction at all, really. And I wanted to be more action when the fire killing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, that's what this movie could be. That's great. And then
they need to raise the stakes.
Oh,
right. Damn. And then when Brad Pitt was like philosophizing, like I kind of wanted a little bit more of that because that's really interesting to me. Like, what does it mean to be living eternally when you're depressive? Like, it seems like a nightmare, like a living horror. but then, I don't know, his fucking voiceover made me fall asleep because it's like, then we went to New Orleans. And he's just like so depressed and so tired. And just like it makes me depressed and tired to listen to it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not that rewatchable. Also, I don't know what makes a performance. Like, Tom Cruise really gives it his all. He's crazy as fuck. But then, like, Nick Cage can give a crazy as fuck performance and it's brilliant. And I don't – but they're both just being crazy.
Like, I think maybe it's just the wrong film for that performance.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's in more of kind of just like a campy vampire horror movie. Like, if he were one of the vampires in Fright Night Part 2, it would kind of work. In a way that here it's like you're going for more of this serious drama thing and it's a false note.
Yeah, fair enough.
I just kept thinking about Liberace.
Liberace. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, man. Do you
it's
have anything,
the cravat.
Do you have anything that you're doing right now? Anything you want people to go to?
No.
Just watching old movies with us, eh?
Yeah.
We're not doing anything either, man.
Oh, wow.
We're just watching Interview with the Vampire.
I mean, yeah, maybe we could do Queen of the Damned next or...
Yeah, I'd see that.
None of us – it's not really a rewatch, though, because none of us
it.
Watched
I've
it.
I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
It was not good.
I would just have to rewatch, like, Aaliyah music videos because I've seen those. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. They're rewatchable.
There
I
you
might go watch one later.
There you have it.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this week on Rewatchability. You can check out Rewatchability on Facebook, on Twitter. The handles are Rewatchability. You can go to TeePublic and get a T-shirt there. That's pretty fun. You can – go to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called iTunes anymore.
Apple Music.
You can go to Apple Music and you can review us and you can rate us out of 5 stars there, which would really help us. And if you do have a few extra bucks, you can go on over to patreon.com and give us a little bit of change every month. So thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week for our continued Halloween month.
Boo.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.